the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God.
Part in cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We've got to let Him change our heart.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Where things do not appear to be working out. We're doing our best. We're doing our part. We're cooperating. And things are still hard. Well, we have a song for that. And God is always working behind the scenes. Always.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day. To be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day.
That's one of His names, and I'm so thankful for that. Faith is the victory. It sounds so easy to practice faith, but it does take a little bit of practice and a lot of help from our Lord.
In cattle on the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we fight, drawn up in dread away. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girded about. the earth shall tremble with our dread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment will be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen.
You guys sound great. There was a note in there about those staying in tents. I was praying for you guys last night
because it was cold. Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I got you, huh? Yeah, you thought. Thank you so much to the Last Song Ministry. We're so glad that you are feeling better. We did pray for you. We even prayed for you this morning, just to be sure. For those of you that weren't there for the morning watch, you missed out. We got to pray for one another and praise God for the rain and for the sunshine and for getting to wake up another day. I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get started today so that you don't forget. If you are looking forward to some of the activities, what activities do we have planned? We kept it a little bit open-ended, but now that things are starting to solidify, today at noon we have the health workshop. After brunch, our own Fred Harding is going to be giving that presentation. And in case you missed it, it's actually listed at the front of the bulletin. It says he will be giving a health workshop on assessing nutrition claims in a noisy media age. You don't want to miss it. If you're saying, but what about the painting class? Well, right after that, let me go to my little schedule again. Right after the health workshop, at about 1:30, 1:45, we'll be meeting up in the cafeteria, and we'll be painting a little tree together. So I look forward to seeing you there if you're interested. Or there will also be some kids' activities. I'll be setting up some paddles over at the ping pong tables, and it'll be a lot of fun. If you want to spend time with your grandkids or whatnot, there will be activities for them as well. And then later this evening, we'll have Lupper, a late lunch, early supper at 4 p.m., followed by some free time right before the worship at 6 p.m. If you've got kids or grandkids, I'm not seeing any of them here, which means you either already got the memo, or in case you don't know, if you do bring your kids or grandkids, during Dr. Hafner's messages, they are having the kids' corner under the calf through this little door in the back there. And that's where the kids are having some programming. It is very well prepared. They've been doing it for a long time, and they do an excellent job. My kids always really like it. Yes, Ron?
So it's 3:30.
Oh, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know why I have it both times. I need to check and make sure that I've got the right time. I'll check with the cooks, and we'll keep you guys up to date. All right. Say again. You're right. You're absolutely right. At 3:30, we'll be having Lupper, not at 4. Thank you so much, Ron. Says you. Okay. Let's go ahead and have prayer for Dr. Hafner. Heavenly Father, we're asking for your special blessing on him once again and on us, Lord. May we be a blessing to others by the way you bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. You.
Good morning. And I do mean good morning. I could not sleep. 4:30 this morning, I got up because I was so excited to get here and see all of your beautiful smiles. And I love mornings. Earlier the better. My wife calls me annoyingly chirpy in the mornings and said, don't even talk to me before about 11 a.m. Because as we all know, there's only two kinds of people in the world. Those who love to get up early and those who hate those who love to get up early. And you know which camp I am in. Well, back when I was in the fifth grade, I did not collect what all of my classmates collected, things like baseball cards, stamps, coins, whatever. I collected, no kidding, cassette tapes. We were talking, Ron, about this morning. And specifically, I collected sermon tapes of Maury Vendon. Does everybody know who I'm talking about when I say Maury Vendon? Last year, his son, Lee Vendon, was here at the Western Slope camp meeting, and his cousin, I think, Gary, as well. And Ron was sharing this morning a very impactful moment that involved a cassette tape dating back to 1979. Well, I have a lot of those same kinds of memories listening to Maury Vendon tapes, even as a fifth grader. I'm telling you, I loved his voice. I loved his stories, especially. And I loved his theology. Because if you know anything about Maury Vendon, you know he only had one sermon. Every sermon, no matter where in Scripture he was preaching from, it always landed on the righteousness of Jesus. Everything was about a personal relationship with Jesus. And it's all about the righteousness of Christ. And so a few years ago, when my daughter was in fifth grade, it happened that Lee Vendon came to our church and gave Claire, my daughter, and I access to all of his dad's sermons. And so we were going through cassette tapes and transcribing them, and then we repackaged the theology and the sermons into a book that is in the back here called Are You More Spiritual Than a Fifth Grader? And it's basically just the subtitle, A Daddy and His Daughter Share the Timeless Teachings of Maurice Vendon. And real quick aside, I did set up a book table. Many of you were asking if I was going to bring books to sell. And okay, one person asked me that. And I love camp meeting book sales. I just love camp meeting book sales, but I cannot compete with your ABC back here where they are all free. So I'm basically selling them for what I pay for them, even though it might bring you comfort to know that all of the royalties from the sales of my books goes to feed hungry children, namely my own. So no, not really. But getting back to this book, actually, quick fun story. When this book came out, my daughter was no longer in fifth grade. She was in seventh grade. And apparently some of her classmates were teasing her because it's just not cool in junior high to have your picture on the cover of a book with your dad. That's not cool, apparently, come to find out. So I remember driving to school one morning, and the girls were in the back seat, and Claire was just distraught. You know, Daddy, get my picture off the book. And I said, sweetheart, it doesn't work like that. And I had nothing to do with the cover design. That's completely the publisher and the editors. And she said, well, tell them to change the cover then. I said, well, they've printed, I think, 15,000 copies of it. And I said, they're not going to. And she said, but I don't want my picture on the cover. And the only thing that finally settled her little heart was when Big Sister chimed in and she said, Claire, relax. You got to remember, this is a book by Dad. It's not like anybody will ever read it or see it. So that seemed to calm her a little bit. Well, Maury Vinden, quoting him, says that there are three aspects of salvation. Salvation from our past sins, we call that justification. Salvation from our present sinning, we call that sanctification. Salvation from a world of sin, when Jesus comes again, we call this glorification. The way by which all three of them happen is exactly the same. Every season of salvation happens in the same way. He goes on. Now, we have no trouble with number one, justification. All we can do is come to Christ just as we are. And we have no trouble with number three, salvation from this world of sin. Nothing we can do to go from earth to heaven but to rely totally on Jesus. But, he says, somehow we have gotten this idea that in sanctification, the middle aspect of salvation, that it is faith plus effort, faith plus works. Colossians 2:6 says, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus, that's justification, just as we have been justified by Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, which is sanctification. It happens in the same way. Christ only, always. Steps to Christ, commenting on this very verse, says, how are we to abide in Christ? In the same way, Ellen White says, that we received him at first. It is the same way. Every season of salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification someday, is ours only through the righteousness of Christ. Ellen White, Testimony of Ministers, says this: divine grace is needed at the beginning, which is what? Justification. Divine grace is needed at every step of advance, which is sanctification. And she says, divine grace alone can complete the work, which is glorification. So, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 3. And we're looking at verse 22, a verse that is very familiar to many of us, I know. But Romans chapter 3, verse 22. And we're going to look at each season of salvation, beginning with justification. And then we're going to take the easy one, glorification, and we will conclude with the tougher one, which is sanctification, which is the theme of our camp meeting. Unstuck, maturing into the likeness of Christ. That's sanctification. So how does this happen? Well, we begin with justification by faith alone. Paul puts it this way: righteousness, verse 22, is given how? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's pretty clear, isn't it? That we are justified because we have all sinned. And Paul tells us that we are all justified freely. How? Only by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We are justified, that is, forgiven from our sins through Christ alone. And Paul makes it clear, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, of His holiness, all of us. Fun story that John Ortberg writes in one of his books. Many years ago, he says, early on in our marriage, my wife and I sold our Volkswagen Beetle to buy our first really nice piece of furniture. It was a sofa. It was a pink sofa, but for that kind of money, it was called a mauve sofa. The guy at the sofa stores, when he found out that we had little children, he said, don't buy a mauve sofa. Get it like a dirt-colored sofa. But we said, we know how to handle our kids. We will take the mauve sofa. Brought it home. Anybody want to guess what the number one rule in our house was from that day on? Don't sit on the mauve sofa. Don't play near the mauve sofa. Don't eat around the mauve sofa. Don't touch the mauve sofa. Don't breathe on the mauve sofa. On every other chair in the house, you may freely sit, but on this sofa, the mauve sofa, you may not sit, for on that day you sit thereon, you shall surely die. And then came the day of the great fall. There appeared on the mauve sofa a stain, a red stain, a red jelly stain. My wife assembled our three children to look at that stain on the sofa. Laura, who was 4, Mallory, who was about 2.5, and Johnny, who was 6 months old. She said, children, do you see that? That's a stain. That's a red stain. That's a red jelly stain. The man at the sofa store says that it's not coming out, not for all eternity. Do you kids know how long eternity is? Eternity is how long we are all going to sit here until one of you tells me which one of you put that red jelly stain on the mauve sofa. They all just sat there until finally Mallory cracked. I knew she would. She said, Laura did it. Laura said, no, I didn't. Then it was dead silence for the longest time. And I knew that none of them would confess to putting that stain on the sofa because they had never seen their mom that mad in their lives. I knew none of them were going to confess putting the stain on the sofa because they knew if they did, they would spend all of eternity in the timeout chair. I knew none of them would confess because, in fact, I was the one who put the stain on the sofa, and I wasn't saying nothing, not a word. And then he writes this, here's the truth about all of us. We have all stained the sofa. We've all messed up. That's the bad news. Oh, but the good news rings from Romans chapter 3, where Paul reminds us we are all justified freely. Justification by Christ and Christ alone. We're all good with that, right? So let's jump to the third season of salvation, glorification. Because here again, I think we will all readily agree that the only way that we will be taken off to heaven is through Christ, right? Paul describes it like this, 1 Corinthians 15:52. He says, this will happen in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We will be glorified in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, like that. We will be taken to heaven. Back when we were kids, every summer, we would pack four Hafner children into an unair-conditioned station wagon and drive from Rhode Island all the way to visit our grandparents in Walla Walla, Washington. No air conditioning. Four kids, young kids. But it was our favorite place to go every summer because there were lots of fun things to do at Grandma and Grandpa's house, including he had in the back a barn. I don't know how old we were, but quite young. I remember climbing up a ladder with my two brothers, Paul and Randy, and I said to Paul, have you ever wanted to fly like Mary Poppins? I had with me on the top of the roof an umbrella. And I said, all you have to do is hang on tightly to this umbrella and then run and jump off the roof, and you can fly all around Walla Walla. Wouldn't that be fun? And I could see Paul was not buying it. He said, are you sure? Of course I'm sure. You've seen the movie. I've seen it. Of course it'll work. And so Paul took the umbrella, squeezed it tightly, you know, got all the way up to the apex of the roof. And then one last time, are you sure? Of course I'm sure. Go. And so he jumped and ran down, jumped off that rooftop. And guess what? Paul is no Mary Poppins. He could not fly. But I hasten to tell you, no little brothers were injured in the making of this sermon illustration because he landed in a big pile of dead corn husks. It turned out we spent the entire afternoon just jumping. After a while, we just got rid of the umbrella because that really didn't work. But we just jumped into this pile of corn husks. Well, here's the thing that we all know to be the truth. There is nobody who can wing their way to heaven. We cannot Mary Poppins our way on the day that we are glorified in the twinkling of an eye, in the flash. You know, that it is by Christ alone that when he comes, that we will be saved. Okay, we're all good with that, right? I mean, that's good. But now, we get to the harder one. We are sanctified by Christ alone. And I'll be unpacking this idea for the rest of the week. Again, somehow we've gotten the idea that, yeah, we're justified by Christ alone. We're glorified by Christ alone. But when it comes to this adventure of living the reality of the kingdom of God, when it comes to being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, when it comes to becoming good enough and overcoming sin and experiencing victory in our lives, then it gets a little dicier, doesn't it? Like, well, the Bible does say make every effort, right? So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn quickly to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. Paul says this, for God is working in you. Notice, it's God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You don't muster up the willpower to do what pleases God. No, it is God through His Holy Spirit working in you. Changing your desires and giving you the power to overcome sin. It's not you, it's God in you. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. I love this passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. It's talking about sanctification from within, a transformation of your thoughts and your attitudes. We are sanctified how? By the Spirit. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, your transformed self, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's sanctification. Change to be like God, righteous and holy. But you may be saying, but doesn't Scripture say, make every effort, right? And it does. But if you look at those statements where it says, make every effort, the effort is always leveraged toward getting to know and trust Jesus. The effort is always living in that space of complete surrender so that it is the Spirit changing our thoughts, changing our desires, what we want to do. That's the Spirit at work. Scripture is not against effort. It does speak against earning your salvation or trying to earn your salvation. We are not sanctified by more and more willpower. It's not about willpower. It's about trusting His power to live in me, through me. I remember one time I was preaching on Luke chapter 13. You may remember the parable where Jesus makes this statement, make every effort to enter through that narrow door. And somebody cornered me after and said, but it says, make every effort to get through that door. And as it happens, I was reading this morning, just my devotional time, Matthew 25. And I noticed the five foolish bridesmaids, when they come back and they are not let into the wedding feast. And the reason given is the same reason here. Jesus says, I don't know you. It says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Why? Well, the reason given, Jesus says, I don't know you. That's where our effort must be. Getting to know Jesus. That's how we grow in Christian faith. That's how we are sanctified by God's Spirit. Maury Vendon again remembers back when he was in eighth grade. He was embarrassed because he was the shortest kid in the class. And when you all pose for an eighth grade picture and all of the girls are taller than you are, that's horrifying to an eighth grader. And so Maury decided, I am going to grow to be 6 feet tall. I'm tired of being short. I'm going to grow to be 6 feet tall. So he went out into the backyard and he started hanging from the clothesline. And he stayed there hanging as long as he could. He tried as hard as he could until finally he had no more strength. But he anxiously, excitedly raced back in to measure how much he had grown. Anybody want to guess how much he had grown? It's ludicrous. He hadn't grown 1 inch. And he writes this, you don't grow by trying harder to grow. And yet how many people approach spiritual life with that mindset? If I just try harder, I can grow to be more patient, to be more loving, to be more like Jesus. You don't grow by trying harder to grow. You grow by eating. If I had spent all my time hanging on the clothesline post, so I had no time to come in for dinner, I would never have reached 6 feet tall, only 6 feet under. We grow by eating. I think of the metaphor that Jesus used. You know, I am the bread of life. And kind of a theory I've had through the years that, why is it that sometimes, present company excluded, of course, church members, followers of Jesus can just be cranky, And maybe it's because we're hungry. The key to spiritual life is to drink of the living water, to eat of the bread of life. That's how we grow. So I'll leave you with one final passage that I think really captures what I'm saying this morning very well. So if you would quickly turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. Paul over and over and over talks about living in Christ. And he says, it's only because of God that you live in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, which is what? Our justification from sin. Our righteousness, justification. Our holiness, which is sanctification. And our redemption, someday, which is our glorification. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast only in the Lord. Bottom line, it's all about Jesus. We are saved, justified by our sin. We are saved by Jesus alone. We are transformed, sanctified into the character of Christ only by Jesus and Jesus alone. And someday we all will be glorified by Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus only, always, amen. Oh God, may we learn today how to live in that space of complete surrender, yielded moment by moment to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. God, change us into your character from within is my prayer for each of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Testing. Okay, there we are. I said Elder Hafner's message reminds me that by beholding, we become changed. I love that. Let's close out with this song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your presence. There is glory on each face. Thank You so much for teaching us that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank You for each one here. Father, bless each one. Cause us, Lord, to look to You. In Jesus' name, amen.